I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Desert Isolation Discs. My guest today is an effervescent frontwoman. Born in Kansas and now a London native, she's from the Sunflower State but traded it all for London town. Her unique brand of folktronica and country has won her fans across the world. She's known as Angela Penhooligan, she's a sha-la-la, she's Piney Gear, she's even been Shadow Play's Agony Amp. But today she's my guest on Desert Isolation Discs. She once said in an interview, "I don't stop. I get up, I work, I do music until the early hours of the morning, and then I do it all again, every day. Making music and performing music is creative and uplifting, and it's what makes me tick." Angela, hello, and welcome to Desert Isolation Discs. It sounds like music is a pretty central part of your life.
Yeah.
So today's exercise of picking the 8 songs that you couldn't live without in a desert, probably quite tricky for you.
Oh my god, it was so hard. And I bet if you asked me again tomorrow, it would be a whole new set of tracks. But this is just what I felt today.
Well, you only get one go.
I know. So that's it. I know. But you know, every day music is a moving art. So today, this is how I feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Has your attitude to music changed in your life and how it sort
of... Yeah, well, you just discover and learn and get excited about new music, get excited about old music that's new to you and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly discovering and getting excited and it inspires me to make my own music. And, you know, I think I'll always love music, like a big passion.
Yeah, of course. And so what's the first track that you've got for us today?
Well, I'm worried you'll think I'm really pretentious.
Never.
Because it's Mozart, don't you know? Non so più cosa son, which is an aria from La Nozze di Figaro. Mm-hmm. And it's actually... I always like Mozart because I describe him like the Katy Perry of his era. Like he was like the pop music of his time. And I still think it's really catchy and really accessible. So why not enjoy a little Mozart now and then?
When did you first hear it?
Well, I guess I always listened to classical music and church music growing up. And I didn't really get into opera until university where I studied voice and I actually sang this aria. I just fell in love with Mozart. And, you know, I guess in the same way that if you're a music snob and you say your favorite band is Katy Perry, people might go, "Oh God, that's not very interesting." But I really like Mozart, guys. So, you know, Radio 3, shoot me. But I really like it. So
fantastic. Let's hear it. Some Mozart there, Piney. So that was from your childhood. And how come then you were mainly exposed to classical music?
My parents were super religious. They met on a Jesus people commune where they like prayed and harvested berries and nuts from the forest and made stew and whatever. And they met there and it was all about Jesus and it always was. And I went to church more than I care to remember growing up. So, and then, you know, my parents, they really wanted me to be some kind of successful genius type kid. I don't know. So I got pushed into taking classical piano lessons and learning French and doing long division and all this kind of stuff that I've since forgotten.
Hedging their bets there. Plenty of different talents.
I think so, yeah. But yeah, so church music and classical music, I grew up with that stuff. Mm. And I still love it, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't shunned the past.
No.
I've just moved forward with it all. So, yeah.
And what's your relationship like with your parents for them being very devout in that way?
My mom is no longer quite so devout. And so my dad is now, he has a prison ministry in Seattle and goes to jail every Sunday and does a sermon for the inmates. And people say, oh, you've saved my life. You know, thank you for helping me find God. And I think that's a wonderful thing to do for people, to give them hope and make them feel good in a hard place like jail. Mm. So that's cool. And my mom still lives in Kansas City. So she's doing her thing. And I'm going to go back and see her for 4th of July and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's good. It's good. We're all doing our thing. And, you know, it's made me who I am today, all that crazy stuff. So,
What was it like growing up in Kansas City? What's it like to be a teenager in? Did that have a big bearing on you then, that your parents were very devout Christians? And
well, I felt really guilty when I discovered Guns N' Roses and Depeche Mode and stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to hell because I really like this music and that I can't help it. So I must be going to hell. Well, by then my parents had split, so I would play it at home. And it was my mom was kind of fine with it. But growing up, pre Guns N' Roses was just like, you know, we just listen to good wholesome. I mean, if you want to Google it, I don't even know what you'll find, but I used to love Music Machine, which was like this kids Christian record, and they made like a few of them. And do you know Music Machine?
Sounds like something perfect to sample for a tiny gear record.
Probably would be. There was this song with a snail, and he sang about being patient because he was so slow.
So what's the next choice you've got for us?
What have I got? I've got Camel Walk by Southern Culture on the Skids. And I discovered them when I saw a band called the Porn Huskers play a gig at Davies Uptown. If you're in Kansas City, you know Davies. And it was a Christmas concert. And they played, before they went on stage, they played the very first South Park before it was ever on TV, and it was far ruder and more grim than what you would see on TV. And I loved it. And then the gig was fantastic, and they have this song Camel Walk, which has a dance that goes with it. And my friend Tex, she was a bodybuilder and she had a massive beehive, and she got up on stage and did the Camel Walk, and it's just a really good memory for me. It was a really good night, and I love this band, and I've since seen them play about 3 or 4 times. So enjoy.
Well, sounds like we need to learn how to do the Camel Walk.
Yeah.
And now we need to listen to it. So
I'm doing it now. So
we're doing it in the studio.
Yo, ye pharaohs, let us walk through this barren desert in search of truth and some pointy boots and maybe a few snack crackers.
We've had some camel walking in the studio, and I can confirm it's a great dance.
Thanks.
So, obviously, then you took your opera degree, but you kind of fell into doing an opera degree.
That's right.
At Kansas City.
Yeah. It was. I went there. I really wanted to desperately leave Kansas City. Sorry, Kansas City. Kansas City is great, but you always want to leave where you're from, right? Mm. So, but I got a scholarship to this music school, and it was local, and it was kind of cheap, and I just with American college fees what they are. I just had to go there, and I got a good music education, but I set out to study drums and percussion, and then I lived in this kind of ghetto apartment, and it got robbed, and I couldn't afford to replace my marimba and all my drums and sticks and everything, so I changed my major to voice, which everyone thinks is weird, because not many people do that, but I was just like, well, I sing pretty well, and no one can steal your voice. And I had to audition, and they went, you know what? Yeah, you go ahead. You can sing. Go ahead. So I studied opera, and, you know, that was weird in itself, because before then I'd never even seen an opera.
Really?
But I love singing, and I just thought, oh, well, yeah, let's do it.
And you what's the opera scene like in Kansas?
Oh, it's pretty small. But, you know, a lot of good people have left there and gone on to sing at the New York Met. Or a girl I did my senior recital with sang at the Vienna Opera House and stuff. So, I mean, it produces some pretty good singers, you know.
Were you ever tempted to go down that path?
And... yes, but, you know, your whole life is governed by this tiny little voice box. And it didn't suit me to not eat ice cream or not stay out late watching indie bands, and because you have to shout over loud music and then you're damaging your voice. And it's like, you know what? That's not for me.
No.
So I learned a lot, like how to tour and not damage your voice when you're singing night after night, or how to support a sound. You know, and I had to kind of unlearn my vibrato, because that's not very indie.
And so your third choice today is sort of linked to that time, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I discovered Stereo Total in Kansas City at Recycled Sounds, which was my favorite record shop. And I go there and hang out, and everyone would listen to records with headphones and talk about how cool this album was or that album was. And I got really into Momus, and there was a label called Bungalow, and Japanese pop, and I got into all this stuff that was just so far away from Kansas City, because I couldn't physically get away. I mentally got away through music. And I discovered Stereo Total, and I loved them because they were all cool and they had all this sassy attitude, and they were like French and German, and they were just cool. So this is Holiday End. When you look into my eyes, I feel like a fellow. But really funny.
Stereo Total there with Holiday Inn. I'm here with Piney Gear, my guest on Desert Isolation Discs today. After you'd been to university in Kansas, you actually moved over to London in 1998, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, remember.
So what made you want to move over to the UK?
Yeah, well, I actually did one cheeky semester here in 96, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I loved the music. I loved the culture. I loved the quirky, weird people.
Do you still feel very much an American kind of citizen, or do you?
Yeah, I do. It's funny. London feels like my home, but I feel very American here. You know, I'm like, hey, y'all. And, you know, this weekend I made mac and cheese balls that are deep fried. And, you know, it's like you can take the girl out of Kansas, but you can't take the Kansas out of the girl. So I'm here, and I very much feel like an alien, but it's kind of a nice feeling.
And do you sort of play up to that in a group, or do you tend to...
Depends on the group, I suppose. But it's fun. It's fun to toggle between cultures, and I feel like a citizen of the world.
So yeah. What were your like early memories of being an alien?
Being an alien. Well, it was weird because I didn't know anybody. I literally came here and I didn't know anybody. Mm. And I was a barmaid at the Medicine Bar on Upper Street, which isn't there anymore. But it was really cool when it was there. And I met these really nice people. And I did some courses at St. Martin's and met some more really nice people. And it was just such a freeing time for me. And I think I'd been faunching to leave Kansas City. No disrespect, Kansas City, because I love you, but just for to shake things up a bit for myself. Yeah. And I did it, and I did it in quite an extreme way, you know.
And do you see yourself always staying in London?
I don't know. Yeah, good question. I don't know. I'm starting to miss the sunshine.
Well, I should say that we've actually escaped the rain, a rainy April day, to come into Piney's Sugar Town Studios.
That's right,
In Hackney. And we're very happy to be here. We've got your signed picture of Dolly Parton on the wall. And it's fantastic. So, yeah, your next tune relates to this fair city.
Yeah, well, it's London Is the Place for Me by Lord Kitchener. And it's about the sunniest London song I could find.
London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City. Well, believe me, I am speaking broad-mindedly. I am glad to know my mother country. I've been traveling to countries years ago, but this the place I wanted to know. London, that's the place for me.
I think we're all feeling quite patriotic towards London town after that song. So you started out as Angela, but you are, to a lot of our listeners, they'll know you as Piney. When did Piney first come about?
I came to London and I realized I studied classical music, but maybe that's not the music I naturally want to make. And started writing my own songs. I was in Vic 20, which was a synth pop duo, and then got signed to Truck Records as a solo artist, Piney Gear. And I've been making records ever since, you know?
Are you and Piney the same person?
Well, we are, yeah. I mean, I when I was tiny, 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 I called myself Piney. And I have no idea where that came from or why I started calling myself that. But people would just be like, "What's your name, little girl?" And I'd go, "I'm Piney." And they'd go, "Oh, okay, like, what a crazy name, you know?" And my mom would go, "No, you're Angela." And I'd go, "No, I'm not. I'm Piney, you know, get it right, woman." Yeah. and Gear, because I could never say girl properly.
You found a fan base relatively quickly, didn't you?
Well, I was very lucky.
It was incredibly well received.
Thank you.
Because it's fantastic.
Thank you.
You went touring. I mean, we first met when you were supporting Erasure.
That's right.
When you were doing two gigs a night, as you were telling me in the pub.
It was pretty grueling, but a wonderful experience to gig and gig and gig and gig. I mean, I feel like I've really found how to be on stage, because I think you have to learn that. You know, it's daunting if you've never done it, to get up there and just, "Hi, everybody, it's Piney."
Absolutely.
You know, you have to figure out how to make that work.
And do you think that is a way that you can have a bit of a persona to you know, remove yourself from it and to...
Yeah, it kind of gives you a little leg to stand on, you know, because I guess I'm not super shy, but everyone has a little part of them like vulnerable, and you wouldn't necessarily want to share that with the whole wide world, because it's your human being, you know? So for me, it helps to have that little bit of persona to go, "Well, that's when I'm on stage, I'm Piney." So yeah, it's definitely, you feel more weight as a front person when you're the one who's like, "I'm Piney, this is me, this is my wonderful band, and I'm blessed to have these players." And I have to say, even if they're not speaking or singing, they're completely contributing vast amounts of stage presence and wonderful music and great musicianship, and I would be nothing without them. Mm. But when you're fronting it, it's a different vibe than when you're sharing that responsibility.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's definitely very different, you know.
And what's the next track you've got?
The next track today? I chose is By the Sleepy Lagoon, which is an Eric Coates song. And I chose it because it's the Desert Island Discs song. And if I was...
The show that must not be mentioned.
Well, if I was stuck in the actual desert and I was on an oasis, because I assume that's where the deserted
You'll
island
be well looked after, yeah.
is... I'd listen to Radio 4, you know, and if I didn't have reception, then this song would remind me of one of my favorite shows.
So I'm here with my guest on Desert Isolation Discs, Piney Gear, and we were talking about your career as a musician there. Mm-hmm. So Piney has evolved quite a lot, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She was Folktronica, as we were talking about earlier, and then you began playing country music.
That's right.
Why was that, and what do you see the future of Piney's style being?
Yeah, well, the country incarnation exists because Piney... was electro initially, kind of like you say, folktronic with bits of real instruments.
Plenty of guitar.
Exactly. Hmm. And then I got asked to play this working men's club with an Americana band, and I thought, those guys aren't gonna like me. Like, I just do this weird music. So I got some friends together to do country covers of my first album. And we did a set, a proper country set, because I'm from Kansas, don't you know? Mm. And it went down an absolute storm. And I have to say, I didn't expect that. It was just like a novelty set for us, you know, friends making some music.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, will you play my festival? And when are you going to release an album? And oh my God, that was amazing. And I just thought, what have I done? So we go, oh yeah, sure, we'll play your festival. Oh yeah, we'll make an album. And it just kind of like evolved pretty organically as some friends just making some music. Mm. And so the first roadshow album sort of half covers of the first album and half new material we wrote together as a group. Mm. And then did a lot of touring, and that album did well for us. And then I did another kind of folktronic album with The Age of Reason, which is a bit more insular. Mm. And then another roadshow album, which was probably our last roadshow album, because those guys have gone off and got married and had kids and done all that stuff.
All that.
So, you know, I still see them around at the pub now and then, but they're pretty busy with other stuff. But I do think Jesus Wept was, you know, it was a fun record to make with
Absolutely.
Those guys. And then Geronimo was my most recent album. And I made that in LA with Rob Campanella from the Jonestown Massacre, and he's got an amazing studio.
Yeah.
And we churned that album out in 6 days because it was sunny and gorgeous, and we were just making music and it just flowed like that. But this album I'm making now, we're making in this very Hackney studio that we're in. And it's being mixed. It's almost finished. And
Fantastic.
I can't wait to unleash it
expect?
On the world. How to describe it? It's... it's indie pop, but it's kind of... I don't want to sound pretentious with it, but there's a little bit of, like, some Steve Reich-y, like, repetitive classical elements, but not in a fusion way, because that would be maybe wanky. But it's kind of just, it's a little bit Flaming Lips-ish. I don't know. It's really hard to pigeonhole.
Oh, yeah,
you're the first person to ask as well. And I'm like, wow, I don't know.
You've whetted my appetite. When's it going to be unleashed upon the world? Any ideas?
Well, it should be mixed any day now. And I think we'll start rolling it out in the fall. So I have time to make videos and do the artwork and that kind of thing. But I'm really excited with how it's shaping up.
Excellent. We can't wait to hear it. I'm sure it'll make a few people's desert isolation discs themselves
one day. I hope so, yeah.
So what's the next piece of music you've got for us? It's one that's very dear to your heart.
I love Dolly Parton. Mm. As you can see by my signed autograph picture of Dolly
looking down
on the wall. And this is 9 to 5 because it gets me going in the morning.
Lovely.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Dolly Parton there, and I think you're quite excited to see her at Glastonbury, aren't you, Angela? The lyrics of her song sort of say it all there. You know, you've had lots of 9 to 5s in the music industry.
Yeah.
You've worked for some of the biggest labels in this industry, Beggar's Banquet, EMI, Universal, Amute. How do you find juggling a day job and, you know, recording as Pioneer and gigging? Is that a difficult balance?
Yes. In a word, yes. Mm. But it's it kind of depends a bit on your employers and how much they accept you and what you are and what you do. Mm. I mean, some people would go, oh, Piney is your hobby. That's cute. And I'd be like, okay, you don't get this at all, do you? Because it's very important to me. It's kind of, I don't feel right if I don't do it.
Yeah.
So the balance, if it's not right, it can kill me, like metaphorically. So yeah, it's difficult, and finding the balance has been a real tough one.
Yes.
But I've learned an awful lot from every step of that journey. So I don't regret it ever, you know.
How do you keep the motivation going? And also, have you ever been close to going full time with Pioneer or trying to really gun for that?
Well, I mean, it's just money, really.
Yeah.
I hate to sound cliched, but people don't buy music like they used to. Mm. And I think if I was a band in the 60s or even the 90s, I'd have a flourishing career as a singer, songwriter, and tour the world and all that. But that's not how music is consumed these days.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't lament it because this is how I live. This is the world we're in. But it means you have to be creative about how you make ends meet and how you balance your work-life kind of conundrum.
And, I mean, do you have any resentment for it? Because obviously you've worked in the music industry and they've, you know, obviously had to sort of puzzle over it in their own way. But from a musician's point of view, you know, when you're talking to someone down the pub and they say, oh, yeah, I downloaded your album or I got it off Spotify for free or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, does it rankle with you at all?
I love that my music connects, and that's really my goal. Like, I didn't go into music to be a millionaire, which is, thank God, or I'd be really disappointed. But I went into music because I have this in me and I desperately want it to connect with other people.
Mm.
And that's performing live or selling records or whatever it is, if you're connecting, it's really satisfying, and that's why I do it. So you can curse it and or just go, hey, it's great, my music connects. Yeah. And that's, I genuinely am just delighted my music connects. And if anyone wanted to buy my album, that would make a difference.
Fantastic.
And if you want to stream it, cool, because as long as you like it, you know, I'm happy.
So what's the next track you've got for us today?
What have I got? I've got Wanda Jackson, Funnel of Love, because I love Wanda. She's such a legend. She's still out there working it, and I think that's awesome, and I want to be like that one day. And I had the pleasure of supporting her at the Luminaire before it shut down, and it's just such a beautiful memory for me and kind of a magic evening, you know, where I got to meet Wanda Jackson and she called me Penny Gear and stuff. And I was just like, oh, you can call me whatever you want, Wanda. So yeah, this is Funnel of Love, my favorite Wanda song.
Someday
Wanda Jackson there, and we were just reminiscing about the passive-aggressive signs in the Luminaire in Kilburn, which used to tell you to be to be quiet when the bands were on, which, you know, is good respect for the bands. So one of Pinegar's many appearances in public was as PG Tips, the resident agony aunt.
That's right.
Of Shadowplay fanzine, my own fanzine. And it was one of our most popular features and still is.
Yeah.
So why not bring it to the world of podcasting? We've got a couple of questions that have come in for us.
Oh, my goodness. This has totally sprung on me, by the way.
Yeah, so you'll have to forgive Andrew, she's got to come up with something at short notice. But I'll read the first one out, which has come to me anonymously.
Okay.
It says, Dear Piney, I'm genuinely confused as to which way to vote in the referendum over Scottish independence.
Oh.
I have a patriotic passion for deep-fried Mars bars, but can't imagine life without enjoying watching toffs like David Cameron cheering on Andy Murray at Wimbledon. Please help. And I have to say, I didn't read that in the voice of the original contributor.
Okay.
It was Scottish.
Okay.
So what do you say? Should they?
You know what? Politics is an area I try and steer clear of because it's so many people are passionate about it, and it's like religion or anything else that you can argue your side, but there's always a valid other side. Mm-hmm. But that being said, everyone wants their freedom. Mm. It's a bit like when you leave home, isn't it? And you're skinned, but you're like delighted that you can drink beer on a Monday night if you want, or eat cookies for dinner.
So, just like that.
Yeah, I can't answer that quandary. Mm. All I can do is put a perspective on it.
And have you ever had a deep-fried Mars bar, or what's your favourite kind of British food if you haven't?
I had my first deep-fried Mars bar this recent Christmas.
Christmas Day.
Well, it was just before, and it was, I couldn't eat the whole thing. I had like 3 bites, and it was pretty good, but more delicious than I expected. But it was far too rich and sweet for me to.
They're quite something, aren't they?
Yeah.
You should try deep fried Bounty. My dad helped me get one of those when I was younger. And, burn your tongue on coconut. That's an experience.
Delightful.
And so our second question says, Dear Piney, do you know how the hell you make money out of fanzines and podcasts? This one's just signed with the initials AL.
Ah, I wonder who that is. How the hell? You could get a sponsor.
That's true.
Perhaps Mars and Bounty would sponsor you,
I'll get them to write to them. Yeah, absolutely. So what's the final track that you've got for us today?
It's the Pixies, and it's Here Comes Your Man. And I love the Pixies, and this song makes me think of my man, and that's kind of cute, and maybe sickeningly cute, like a Mars bar that's
been deep
fried.
Tell us about Garrow, then. He's also a musician, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I hated his guts when I met him. I met him backstage at Truck Festival, and he was with someone wearing a Kansas City Royals baseball cap. So I went bouncing up to them. Oh my God, I'm from Kansas City. Blah. And they were drunk or something and really not interested in talking to me. And I thought, what a rude couple of boys. I was just being nice. And then Schlalala's played with Gold Rush at the Cellar in Oxford. And I said, oh, remember me from Truck? And he was like, no. And I was like, well, F you then, mister. Thought, oh, what a jerk. And then I went to Truck Studios with The Roadshow to record Lucky Me. And he showed up, and I was a bit like, what are you doing here, you awful man? And he was like, oh, I was invited.
Yeah.
And he kind of helped write Lucky Me, and then I was kind of like, oh, I guess he's not that bad, you know.
Sounds like playground attractions for
kind
me.
Kind of, yeah. And then he pulled my hair and chased me around the playground. No. And then, actually, we were just friends for a while, you know, and I assessed that he was not an asshole, and it was quite a slow burner, our relationship. But this song makes me think of him, and that's so sappy, so I'm sorry, but this
sappy
is Here
is
Comes
good.
Your Man.
If sappy means the Pixies, then so be it, because that's fantastic.
Thanks.
Pixies, there, your final track, Angela, and what a great way to finish. You're stranded in a desert island. How do you think you would cope?
I love being warm, so I'd be kind of fine with that. I assume that there must be some kind of oasis situation where there's like a lake and a palm tree, right?
We'll give you somewhere to chill out.
Okay. So, you know, as long as I've got that.
And you've got the camel walk to,
yeah,
you know,
I can walk like
in.
A camel and that would be cool. Yeah, I think I'd be fine.
So we've heard your 8 tracks. If you were only able to keep one to save from the crash that's put you into the desert, what would it be?
Oh, my good God. That's such a hard choice because, like, they each have such meaning.
I know. We're not very kind, are we?
No. I mean, I guess maybe I would pick... Oh, it's a tough call. It's between Camel Walk because it's so apt, or Pixies because I love the Pixies and it has such a nice connotation. But then 9 to 5 would be good because I could celebrate that I don't have to go to work anymore.
That's true.
You know, like, ha-ha. Oh, let's go Pixies. Yeah.
It's a fantastic track. Mm-hmm. And also, we're very kind on Desert Isolation Discs in that we give you the Tiger Who Came to Tea and also the complete Red Dwarf box set, which you'll obviously need when you're there.
Cool.
What other luxury item would you like to take?
I would love a really big comfy bed with pillows and all that. Just a nice, comfy place to relax.
You'll have plenty of time and you've got some great records to listen to. A nice, comfy bed is yours.
Yeah.
Angela, it's been fantastic having you on Desert Isolation Discs. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, any likeness to any radio shows, alive or dead, is entirely coincidental. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.